And this is Redwood Community Radio, KMUD, Garberville, KMUE, Eureka Arcata. Remedy, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hi, Remedy. This is Estelle.
Hi, Estelle.
So, I guess you're not 180 feet up in a tree anymore?
No, I am on the ground.
Tell us what happened.
Well, the climbers came up. There's three climbers that came up into Jerry yesterday. I was locked down at just under 200 feet, and they offered to, you know, let me walk if I rappelled down on my own, you know, trying to sweet-talk me into saying that things would be so much easier for me, and it would be all great, and I wouldn't suffer really any personal consequences, but I knew in my heart that I was not going to just walk away from that ancient tree to let it be cut down willingly, so I made them, you know, cut me out, which they did, and lowered me down and arrested me and took me to jail. So, happily, though, right now there are other tree sitters up in Jerry and in Everstein, from what I understand. So the trees are still standing, and they're occupied again.
Well, that's interesting now. So that must have happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Is Pacific Lumber and the climbers, are they aware that the tree has again been occupied?
I believe it is public knowledge at this point, so I'm pretty sure that they are aware.
Okay.
And it sounds like that we've got it happening again at the Lower Village today. There's trees that are being cut really close to the Lower Village. And, of course, you know, there's not only seven or eight trees that's down there, but there's over 20 trees that are tied in, so creating a very dangerous situation for the people up in the trees and the people on the ground. Just, you know, it's so dangerous to be taking chainsaws into an area where there's, you know, the loggers, you know, don't really understand, you know, where everyone is. They can't possibly anyway. I just got a report from there. I'm not there right now, but that there's people on the ground, you know, trying to get that to stop, trying to get the fallers to stop cutting the trees, and people are being arrested.
Can you hold on 1 second, Remedy? We'll have a report. I just talked with a man by the name of Carl moments ago, live from the scene.
They're cutting trees up here on this incredibly steep slope. I'm not like a veteran forest defender or anything, so I don't know a lot of terminology, but it's an extremely steep slope. They're cutting very big trees, and they're very, very close to where some of the tree defenders are up in their trees, and it's real scary up here, actually. There's an unbelievably large number of cops for a bunch of harmless 20-somethings who are unarmed and just not even scary people once you actually see them up close. And, you know, anytime there's too many cops, you get this critical mass phenomenon that happens. So it's nervous-making.
Now, you said somebody is in handcuffs there?
Yeah, Karen Pickett. They're going to decide whether they're going to really book her or just let her go. I'm saying no politically savvy cop would deliberately book this woman unless they really want to catch the attention of a hell of a lot of people, because she's just got mad credibility throughout the environmental movement, and she was taking a photograph very far from where anything was going on. She was not screaming. She was not trespassing even at the time that she was taken into custody, so it's real weird.
Did you witness the arrest?
I did not. I just came trundling down the road and was real surprised to see her in cuffs, because she and I had a nice conversation this morning, and I knew she had no intention of being involved in any civil disobedience or anything of that kind. So they're taking her and putting her in this van. Sheriff Arnold says she should be pretty quickly released, unless she has recently been arrested. She certainly has a sheet or a file, but I can't imagine anyone would think she was dangerous. But they're putting her in the car. They're actually going to take her away, it looks like, which it just seems like a bad move politically on their part.
And that was Carl, who had Karen Pickett's phone. What followed was a conversation between Carl and Karen, trying to figure out just what was going to happen to her. As we spoke, she was tapped, or whatever you call it. What is that word, Michael? When you shake people down, you She was patted down. She was patted down, and then she was handcuffed with plastic cuffs and put in that vehicle. It's not clear if she is going to jail, but she has, in fact, been arrested. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening up the, there. Now, in the meantime, again, Remedy, what I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, is for you to describe for us what the day was like for you, because it started early. What time did it start for you in terms of climbers coming up there, and how long did it take them to get you out?
Well, it was before 8 o'clock when they first started showing up. The first thing that happened was a grader arrived and went over the logging road that they had put in last November. And so obviously to prepare the way to haul trees out on that road. And shortly after the grader arrived, in came, you know, the full entourage of PL trucks, Climber Eric's vehicle, Sheriff's vehicles, and it was really obvious that they were there for us. And so I just happened to have an independent film crew up in the tree with me, so they got lots of great footage yesterday. You know, me being on the phone, you know, it's just so, it blows my mind that PL did this yesterday, because the media has been watching so closely. They're calling me from, you know, all over the place, you know, both state and national media sources calling me every day to find out, are they there? Are they coming for you? And yesterday was the day. It's like, yeah, they're here and they're getting ready to come up the tree. They're, you know, so I was able to interview with all different kinds of media sources, you know, telling, giving them up-to-date information about how they were, you know, pushing people out of the area and blocking the road off completely. And so they were there for a few hours on the ground before they started to climb up the tree, and at which time I started climbing higher up in the tree to be prepared to lock down. And I was up at the top of the tree, well, not quite the top, I was maybe 20 feet from the top of the tree for several hours yesterday, and the wind really started to pick up. I thought at one point that they might realize that it was too dangerous to lower us down in that wind, but they didn't come to that conclusion. So I was up there for several hours just, you know, feeling very safe. I don't know, you know, just knowing that I was doing the right thing, and I, you know, that's what I was there to do. And when the climbers came up, it was Climber Eric and Climber Jesse came up and tried to talk to me to try to convince me that I should lower myself down and that it would just be in my best interest and that it would be for the interest of in interest of safety. And of course, you know, the reason we're there is an interest of safety, because everybody who lives in, you know, on property adjacent to PL land, or anybody who lives in Humboldt County, has to deal with PL's clear cuts and the real safety hazards that their clear cuts create. And Eric didn't want to talk about that too much. He just wanted to pretend that the only safety concern was that of mine. So anyway, I told him that I was not going to do that, and everything was very cordial. But it took them several hours from the time that they got to me to haul up all their gear and everything they needed to do to get me out. Like I said, it was pretty windy, and they were cold. They were shivering and you know, kind of uncomfortable, but I was not. And so eventually they were just able to, they didn't have to actually cut through my lockbox. They were able to cut through the chains that were around my wrists that had me locked into the lockbox. And
what did they use to do that?
Bolt cutters, I believe.
Okay. So they didn't have to bring any kind of a grinder up there or anything?
No, but I was able to witness them hauling a generator up into Everstein, the tree that Wren was defending, while I was locked down. So I saw that they were hauling heavy equipment up there, and I heard from people later that they were grinding on her for maybe 2 to 3 hours. And people should be aware that when they're doing that, they're throwing sparks onto climbing equipment, and if that is not something that greatly endangers everyone, then I don't know what is. You know, if your lifeline 200 feet above the ground has sparks being thrown on it for hours, you know, 2 to 3 hours, that's extremely dangerous. And so, of course, PL once again completely ignoring the safety of the tree sitters and of, you know, even the climbers themselves to employ such tactics. So, but unfortunately, I saw a couple hours after I was brought to jail, which, by the way, my rights were never read to me. And I heard from Sparrow, who was arrested yesterday morning, her rights were never read to her either. So,
Did you spend any time in the jail per se, or were you just booked and then released?
No, they processed me and put me in a cell for the processing part took a couple few hours, and then they did put me in a cell where I stayed for a couple hours, and then I was bailed out.
And how much was that bail?
$10,000.
So, Remedy, I'm sure you've had time to reflect at this point. You were determined to reach your one-year goal, and you're just a couple of days shy of it. What are your feelings and your thoughts at this point?
I am overjoyed that Jerry is still standing, that those trees have not been cut, and that they are reoccupied. It makes me feel like it's extremely successful. I'm, of course, sad to have been taken down. It's a beautiful thing to live in a tree. but since Jerry is still standing and the tree is still being defended, I'm certainly not the only one who's very dedicated. There's a lot of very dedicated people out there, both up in the trees and on the ground, who are committed to keeping this action going. So I feel extremely happy.
Can you tell me if at any point while after they cut the chains you felt that your safety was in danger?
Well, I told Eric, as he was telling me, that he has all kinds of credentials and all kinds of experience and all kinds of training, that it's all going to be very safe. And I told him that there was nothing he could say to me to make me think that there was anything remotely safe about removing someone who did not want to be taken down from high up in a tree. So, the whole thing is dangerous. So,
Now, you said that he just cut the bolts. What did he do then? He put a harness around you? I mean, how did he actually get you to the ground once the bolts were cut?
Yeah, they put a harness on me. A harness around my waist and also one around my chest, and lowered me down. There's three climbers in the tree, and so Eric was lowered down right alongside of me, kind of guiding me through branches and that kind of stuff, and also communicating with those above and ground to I don't know what process. I'm not exactly sure of the techniques that they were using, but there's obviously people above and also from below helping in that process.
With regard to Wren, how much do you know about that? Now, you say they had to bring up heavy equipment. Obviously, they had to cut through the collar that she had, and that obviously took longer. Do you know what time they finally got her out of the tree?
From what I read in the paper today, it was around sunset.
Okay.
And I saw her in jail last evening. I'm not exactly sure what time it was. Obviously, it was after dark. I was unable to talk to her, but that's how I found out that she had been taken down, as I saw her there.
Well, if you can hang on a minute, Remedy, I've got somebody here in the studio with me, and that's Sparrow. Hi, Sparrow.
Well, hi, Remedy.
Hi, Sparrow.
It was so good to give you a hug. That wasn't exactly where I wanted to do it, across from the courthouse.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Tell us a little bit about what happened for you yesterday, Sparrow.
Well, I showed up early in the morning to bring them breakfast, as I usually do, and I got breakfast sent up to Remedy and to Opal and to Wren, and then after I had sent breakfast up, I went and was sitting at the base of Jerry when I heard the big equipment coming to do the road, and I had Naomi Wagner was with me, and we both locked down to the base, down to a tree at the base of Jerry, trying to slow them down. We didn't slow them down very long. It took them approximately 45 minutes to cut through the lock boxes, and then they hauled us out and took us off to jail. I was cited and released, and Naomi was kept because she had some priors.
Now, when I look at you, I'm not going to go into detail, but you're not what you would see as the, quote, typical protester. You're a resident of the area?
Yeah, I'm a longtime resident of Humboldt County. I've been in Humboldt County for 30 years now.
And have a steady job?
Yes, I do.
we won't say where. And so what is it that drove you to the point of locking yourself down to a tree?
I think desperation, just desperation. We've tried everything. We've tried lawsuits. We've tried going through the justice system. We had some hope when our governor promised to rescue all of the ancient trees from the loggers' axe and failed to do so. So I think it was an act of pure desperation. We had come to a point where I didn't know what else I could do to be of assistance, and I just wanted to do something.
How was it to be there and doing that?
It was scary. It was scary. I have to say they treated me with pretty gentleness. They were trying very hard not to hurt me. I got some bruises on my wrist, but they were trying very hard to be gentle. I just wish that we could have given them more time, because I know they sent the climbers up almost right after they got us out was when the climbers were sent up. So I would have liked to have delayed that a little bit longer.
How would you describe the approach of the climbers and law enforcement and the whole scene there yesterday?
Well, initially I would say the police were fairly respectful. Now, climber Eric, however, came by where I was sitting, and I said to him, I said, you know, Eric, there are a million and one reasons to leave these trees standing, and only one reason that I can think of to cut them down, and that's for money. Why are you doing such a thing for money? And he said, I'm not doing this for the money. I would be happy to come and do this for nothing, and I'd cut this tree down for nothing, just for fun. And I thought that was a very sad statement of where somebody's coming from. It shows that he's got a very big hole in his soul, and I feel very, very sorry for the man.
So how did the community respond to this? I know I talked with some residents, but you had the road blocked off. Now, as I understand, when a logging operation is in progress, you can control traffic, but I haven't heard of closing the road.
Well, I know there were a number of residents that were really irate at the whole situation, at having their road closed and not being able to go down and do their normal business. There was one lawyer who went in and talked to Supervisor Woolley and said, how can they be doing this? They don't own the road. How can they close the road off? And it certainly wasn't protesters that were blocking anything. The protesters stayed on one side of the road and always left a lane available for traffic to come through. Later in the evening, when the sun was setting, the protesters were all sitting in the road. I had gone back up, and we were all just sitting in the road, singing songs, chanting that we love you to the police, trying to be as positive as we possibly could, and letting Wren know that we really cared about her and that we were there for her. Suddenly the police started pushing. Now, I see that they're saying that somebody pushed them. I wasn't at the front of the crowd, but everybody was sitting down. I don't know how anybody could have pushed a police officer. But before we knew it, they had their batons out, and they were pushing us back, and someone got beaten. Somebody got hit by batons. Then they pulled out pepper spray and were pepper spraying. There was a mother in the crowd with her little baby, and I worried that that baby was going to get pepper spray in her eyes. It was just a horrendous thing. I felt like I was in a fascist state yesterday. I certainly didn't feel like I was in a safe place. And no one was doing anything except peacefully protesting. So contrary to what the Times Standard might have said or whatever the other news media might have said, we're here to tell you the truth today. We were peacefully protesting. Nobody was arguing or fighting. Nobody was pushing or shoving. I think the police just got scared at our resistance, that people were sitting in the road and not giving their ground. And that's why one of the officers broke rank and pulled out his pepper spray.
Now, I have the press release here from the Sheriff's Department. I won't read all of it, but they say, as the women were being lured from the trees, many of their supporters on the ground became aggressive. One protester struck a deputy as other protesters tried to push past deputies in order to protect themselves and to maintain control for the safety of everyone involved. Deputies were forced to use pepper spray. There were no reports of injury, and the tree sitters were safely lowered to the ground.
Well, I would have to dispute that there were no reports of injuries, because we immediately had to rinse three people's eyes out with water. They were in extreme pain. I'm just really glad that that baby didn't end up with pepper spray in her eyes. Her mother was very upset. Her mother was in tears, put her in the stroller, and immediately took her down the hill. But, I mean, it was just And I don't know the person that got hit by the batons. I fail to see how they could have been okay, because you get hit by a heavy wooden stick, I think it's going to leave a few bruises, if nothing else.
Well, we do have somebody else on the line right now, I believe. We're going to get Michael to put him on. Have we got Daryl, Michael?
I'm here.
Oh, hi, Daryl. So you have an update for us?
Yes, I talked to Lodgepole not too long ago, and there are, of course, net new extractions occurring on Greenwood Heights Road. You know, there's at least 13 tree sitters up there. The number goes up and down like the stock market, but there's quite a number of tree sitters up there, and Pacific Lumber is vowed to take tree sitters down all week long. And so pretty much a 24-hour vigil, especially during the daytime when the extractions are taking place, are needed to help witnesses what's going on for exactly the reasons that Sparrow is indicating, that the police can get out of hand, especially if nobody's watching, and even when people are. So we're really asking people to come up to Greenwood Heights Road immediately. Karen Pickett, a longtime Earth First activist since 1983, was just arrested not too long ago, and she was just physically watching the tree sit extractions and being a witness, and she was arrested. A member of the news media was arrested just shortly ago. And in addition to that, three more tree sitters in their perches have been arrested. I don't know that the sits are down, but there have been three additional arrests on top of that. But on a lighter note, in case it hasn't been mentioned already, and maybe it has, the trees that Remedy and Wren were sitting in have been reoccupied with platforms and numerous tree sitters, quite a few of them sitting in those trees. And so those trees are not just standing, but they are being defended once again. I wasn't there, but apparently there was no security or lax security last night, and so the tree sits are back up, and for me, that just made my morning, I have to tell you.
Do you know if the climbers have paid any attention to them far today?
No attention
to
them right
the
now. It's all in the lower village.
So
Pacific Lumber is aware that those sitters are up, but they're focusing in the lower village right now.
What about the road? Is that still being blocked off, or are people being allowed through?
No, the road is allowed through, and I don't know if this has been mentioned, but it turns out that road closure was, in fact, illegal. And I even heard a number of residents grumbling about it as we walked down the hill last night. Residents who are waiting in a long line just to go home for dinner. And basically, when you close a road, you're supposed to give notice to the residents, a week notice, so people can make arrangements for their children, for their families, medical situations, and no notice was given whatsoever, and that road closure is now been abandoned, and so people can drive up and down the road and go to view the tree sitters. Yes, it is possible to be arrested, but just try to steer clear of the police, but we need people up there immediately. It's an urgent warning, and just so people know, go to the Three Corners Market in the town of Freshwater, and then Freshwater Road for 100 feet, make an immediate left on Greenwood Heights Road. And the lower village is actually just about 1.5 miles up, and you can't miss it. There'll be a bunch of cops there and some protesters.
Well, I think that with that, we'll probably go back to regular programming. We want to thank Ken very, very much for giving us the chance to take a big chunk out of his time. Sorry to you people who tuned in to hear Bluegrass and Folk, but it'll be back with you very, very shortly, and we will keep you posted throughout the day on further developments in the Freshwater area.